Well, hello, hello, guys, and you're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and today on the podcast, I'm coming to you all the way from Munich, and I'm so delighted to be interviewing Bob Radigan, who's CEO of Murs Aesthetics, and you have some very exciting news to tell us, but I wanted to introduce Bob a little bit. He has extensive leadership and has run Murs for almost, how many years?
About three years.
He previously was named one of the top aesthetic CEOs by Aesthetic Everything in 2017. He served as president and chief operating officer of Alpheon, a medical aesthetic startup company, and also spent 17 years with Allergan and 9 years at Procter & Gamble, launching some of the biggest Allergan launches ever, Juvederm, Latisse, and what else?
Botox
itself. So you spent a significant amount of time at Allergan and Procter & Gamble. This year, the last 3 years coming to Murs, what kind of things have set you apart, and what demonstrates Murs to be different from Allergan or Procter & Gamble?
Probably one of the biggest differences is Procter & Gamble and Allergan were both publicly owned companies, very large companies. Murs is a family-owned private company, which gives us more latitude to make decisions that are future-based versus quarter-based, which you're dealing with in a public entity. And overall, it's a really family-owned, but also family tone within the business. The people that work together have a lot of affinity, like each other, have similar operating styles and norms that are really important for us when we hire folks.
And that's wonderful. And this week, you've had a really big announcement with Murs. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, this week we announced that we're splitting Murs into three different businesses. The first one is aesthetics, the second is therapeutics, and the third is consumer care, which is really specific to Germany. The country of Germany is where our bulk of our consumer care business lies. So we're going to operate each of those globally as independent businesses with full functions aligned to the respective verticals.
So that's exciting. That means you're bringing to Raleigh, North Carolina, the entire global aesthetics market for Murs.
Yeah, the global management team is going to be based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. So big change for us. We've got a number of folks that are already in Raleigh that have global leadership positions. But the entirety of my direct report base and for the most part, the folks that are direct reports into them will be based out of Raleigh, North Carolina.
That's kind of a huge announcement because it enables you to function very differently from a pharmaceutical company, right?
Yeah, we're going to be the only pure play, or actually not the only, the largest pure play aesthetics company in the world. So we have one mission, which is to serve the aesthetic customer base, and everybody in the company is focused on that, regardless of their level, their function, if they're in finance, IT, areas that our customers don't typically interface with. We'll also be solely focused on serving the aesthetic customer.
So, for example, our listeners may not realize, but Allergan produces some pharmaceutical drugs which make it regulated by the federal government, and therefore they have a lot less creativity and play with what they can do with their aesthetic products. And Evolus, I believe, is completely aesthetic. They manufacture a competitor Juvo product. Mm-hmm. And then Galderma, how are they structured relative to you guys?
They're more like Allergan would be. They have a medical dermatology business, so the regulations regarding promotion and such apply regardless of whether or not you're associated with or part of a pharmaceutical company. It's really the interactions and the ability to have close affinity with the customer base that is less restrictive in a cash pay environment than in a government reimbursed or third party payer reimbursed market.
When Evolus went live with their launch, they were somewhat criticized by the way they launched in terms of like the flashiness of it or the fact that they were perhaps, treading lightly around some rules because of that. Are you guys planning a different strategy?
Yeah, that's really not a tack that we're going to take. We're going to continue to operate with real high ethical science-based standards. The meeting we're at right now, as one example, is an educational meeting, and that is occupying basically a day and a half of everyone's time. And that's where the value is for our practitioners and, frankly, for us as well.
Yes, we're at the MEXIS 2019 meeting, and that's a MERS Experts Summit. It's 2 whole days, actually, of all experts speaking about aesthetic affairs. In general, what changes in the aesthetics industry have surprised you, and what direction do you think our industry is headed in this year?
Probably the biggest surprise is the reduction of the stigma associated with the aesthetic procedures, and it's a positive surprise. It's not one that I would have hoped not to have encountered, but it has rapidly progressed from an environment where it used to be a procedure or product or marketplace as a consumer you viewed as relevant for others, people that are in the Hollywood set, the red carpet set, and It's very, very much become now more part and parcel of a self-care routine for the everyday woman.
I would say, I think you're absolutely right, but I do still feel that there's a stigma. Even in this day and age, I have women who hide it from their husbands. We have, you know, friends that hide it from each other. They don't all tell each other quite as openly, but that's one of my main missions, is to bring transparency to the process. And that's why I'm very open about my aesthetic treatments, and I'll video my Botox getting done or my filler getting done. So Have you had any personal experience with aesthetic products and treatments?
Yeah, myself, as a user, consumer, absolutely. All of our products I've tried. I've had Xeomin injections, Radius, Bellatero. I've had old therapy done. And I agree with your point. There still is a stigma in the market, but it's not, frankly, as large as it used to be, which is good. And I think part of that is social media has really opened up the dialogue with a younger group of patients who are more willing and able to talk about what they're doing from a self-care standpoint. So we're going to do what we can to help facilitate that in the context of our DTC, digital, and social media outreach efforts to, frankly, just help women become comfortable talking about these products and procedures and feel no shame, guilt, regret, or concern over someone judging them for, you know, pursuing this as part of their self-care routine.
So your Later Haters campaign was really successful. Emily Broder and your team that came up with this idea had such a strong message that targeted the younger group of women, career-focused women, but also women who were finally kind of having their kids taken care of and ready to focus on themselves. Do you have an idea of what's coming up for 2020 as far as more campaigns?
Yeah, we're working on those right now. It's work in process, and the campaign that we have, that demographic is that you describe, really a psychographic profile. It's a woman that has spent the last 10, 15, 20 years raising kids, Taking care of her family, growing her career, and we've termed them a reclaimer because they've, you know, woken up and said, hey, it's time for me to reclaim myself. You know, I need to pay attention to myself, treat myself, put myself in a position where I'm feeling good, and looking good helps you feel very good. So it very much opens the door to, you know, don't worry again about anyone judging you or feeling guilty about these procedures, but take advantage of them happily and openly.
Is there a male equivalent to a reclaimer woman?
Not that we've found. No, we've really focused our efforts, though, on the female audience, since that's 90% of the market. So if they exist, it would be yet to be uncovered or researched from our end. Do you have any perspective on that? I'm curious.
I do think that there is a whole population of men that does not want to be left behind when they see that their beautiful wife is getting spruced up and maintaining and starting to look better than them. They do tend to eventually make it into the office. And usually it's maybe dragged or escorted by the wife or, you know, but they are very motivated actually to have good skin and to keep up. They want to keep up.
Yeah. I do. Actually, that's a good point. And we see, and I've seen a lot of that in practices where the husband or the significant other is accompanying the wife and there to kind of observe and watch the procedure. But then, you know, next thing you know, they're sitting in the chair getting an injection.
Exactly. And I'm always very open to that. And I always encourage it because, you know, that's they always feel better about themselves. You can be a strong man and still be smooth and still maintain your masculinity.
The same concept works for men and women, which is if you look better, you feel better, and you live better as a result. So that's certainly not gender specific. That crosses, you know, males and females.
What would you say to someone who might be on the fence about trying Xeomin or any toxin for that matter?
I'd say go on the website, do your own research to get comfortable with the products, the treatments, watch videos, look at before and after pictures, and very importantly, search for a physician on the website that is a board certified or very skilled injector in the aesthetic space.
Exactly. I think that's very true. How do you think Xeomin is going to distinguish itself from all the toxins that are currently out there, between Botox, between Dysport, between Jeuveau, and possibly upcoming, you know, Revance? How are you guys going to position the Xeomin toxin?
We're going to stick with the positioning that we have in that we're a very unique and differentiated toxin. We don't have the complexing proteins or accessory proteins that come with all the other products. So the purity of manufacturing and differentiation that provides will continue to be a very significant point of how we differentiate ourselves from the existing and future products.
For those of you all listening who don't realize that Xeomin is one of the more pure toxins, it's got 10 times less accessory junk proteins than brand name Botox. And the immunogenicity profile thus is very ultra pure. So that makes a difference, I think, for young people starting out in this market. If you're 20 and you're planning to have toxin for the next 50 years, it makes a difference, in my opinion. Are you guys going to do some studies to help support any of those ideas?
Well, they're very long term if you're going to do it. But what we do have is data that is showing over long term use retrospectively the emergence or not of neutralizing antibodies. And some of that's being presented here at the meeting this weekend. It has been published previously. So we know that we have a very good profile in that respect. So it's a product you can start with and stay with, you know, be it 40 years, 50 years, however long you're going to, you know, undertake injections.
So you have a lot of scientific knowledge. Did you study science in, you know, college or before business school, or did you just learn all of this?
No, I just learned it by being in the industry for 20 years and, you know, enough to be dangerous. If you want to go too deep, I'm going to have to call the audible because I'm not near as deep on the science side as any of the people in the room that we've been learning from and listening to today.
Well, I think you do pretty well, though.
Thank you.
So you went to school at UC Santa Barbara, is that right? And then what was your trajectory after that, sort of the how I built this of Bob Radigan?
Oh, yeah. I went straight into Procter & Gamble from UC Santa Barbara, spent 9 years there in a variety of different roles, and then went to Allergan for 17 years, and that's how I got into medical aesthetics. After about 5 years being at Allergan, we launched Botox Cosmetic, and I was the vice president of the business unit for that. And since then, I've really been all heart and soul into the medical aesthetics arena. Very, very happy at Mertz the last 3 years. I love the operating style, the openness, the transparency, the closeness, as I described earlier, of the employee base. We're big enough to serve, but small enough to care. Is one way I think about it. You know, we're not consumed within a large organization and one small division of it. We are really now just solely focused on this as our business, you know, start to finish.
When you came into MERS, was there anything very distinctively masculine, or was there a good balance between the women executives and male executives? It seems like you've made some changes where you've kind of really focused on bringing more women into the administrative executive side.
Yeah, and ultimately it's the best person and the right fit for the job versus a gender-based decision, but we have a very, what I'm proud to say, a strong contingent of senior female leaders and all through the organization, great representation. At last count, I think 2/3 of our employee base, at least in the U.S. is female, and 40%, and 40% of the management and above positions are occupied by women, which is quite unique and something we're going to continue to focus on and develop over time.
Is it ever awkward as a man to be thinking of how to market women, since 90% of this audience is women, and I think I would say like more than 70-80% of injectors are women at this point. How does that feel crafting the message for us women?
For me, it's never been awkward. It's been just traditional market insights you get, you know, similar to when I started at Procter & Gamble. You have different customer segments, and it being women is fun, not in any way different or unique than how I would approach the market if it was 90% men.
Mm-hmm. And then on a personal note, tell us how you motivate your team. Like, as a business person myself, I didn't go to business school, but running a practice and running a staff of 15 people, like, you have to learn how to have people skills in management. What are some things you do to really motivate your team, people around you?
Well, I try to have fun at work. I mean, I don't want us to take ourselves too seriously. So, you know, we're in the business of doing serious things, but we also have to make sure we, you know, have the ability to take the time to enjoy the work, laugh. I like to be very open and transparent with people so they don't feel that there's any political agendas or games being played. And like to reinforce a culture where there's no drama. Everybody has enough drama in their life outside of work. So at work, there's no need to, you know, create more of that and bring that tension into your day versus just get on with the job, do it in a professional way, do it in a forthright way, and not, you know, worry about politics or managing your career. If you do well in whatever role you're in, you're going to progress in your career organically.
Well, I've heard that you have some mantras. What are the mantras that you tell your employees and your coworkers?
Yeah, a few, and these have just developed over the course of my career, or I've picked them up from others that I've seen as strong leaders, and perhaps from books and kind of a combination. But a few of them, and we have these peppered on the walls at the office, include keep the main thing the main thing. I think in business, the easiest thing to do is get distracted, extend yourself too much, expand your scope beyond where you have true capabilities and unique aspects that you can deliver as a business. So making sure you stay focused on the main thing is the main thing. Another one that comes to mind right off the bat is simplify the complex. That's super important. People, I think, need to be able to articulate and distill down complicated issues into things that are addressable in bite-sized chunks. So taking a complex issue, and rather than scaring everyone by talking about the complexity and the difficulty that it will take to overcome it, clarifying in simple ways solutions that could help you address the issue is very, very important.
Wonderful. Do you have any personal life mantras or practices that have made you successful?
No, I'd say the work ones are kind of transcendent into my personal life as well.
Are you a morning person or a late night owl?
More of a night person. I try to be a morning person as much as I can, but I find that I'll have a really big productivity burst kind of mid-morning through post-lunch, a little bit of a lull, and then late afternoon into the late evening, quite a bit of productivity seems to just naturally be my rhythm.
That's true. Me too. What are your two favorite apps on your phone right now?
Great question.
You're going to say Instagram, right?
Instagram. Yep, your podcast. Absolutely. Yeah.
Podcasts are great.
Yeah,
actually.
I actually love podcasts.
Which podcast do you love?
I listen to a lot of business-based and history-based podcasts. So things that are, looking back on pivotal times in history, regardless of the genre. Very interesting. Business stuff, as long as it's not too, repetitive, but really insights into how people operate versus, here's the path or the formula to success are things that interest me, kind of getting into the head and minds of people that have been good leaders and successful in their endeavors, whatever they may be. I love reading, so without a doubt, my go-to is the iBooks app. Just day in, day out, I'm on it literally multiple times. Currently, I've got a big queue of books, but I am reading a Harvard Business Review series on the top 10 topics in a variety of different areas, or top 10 articles in a variety of different topic areas is the better way to say it. So strategy, for example, they've pulled together the top 10 articles over time. These aren't just contemporary, they're old ones. And Andreas Krebs, our outgoing chairman, has just written a book that I am just at the end of and really enjoying, called The Illusion of Invincibility, and I'd recommend that to people as well. Very practical, real-life-based lessons in business and leadership overall.
Do you have a mentor or someone that you really looked up to as a role model as you've molded your career?
Yeah, a number of people that I've worked for, some very, very good managers and people above them, some here at Mertz, some at Allergan, some at Procter & Gamble, really have had a great opportunity to learn and be mentored by and get good guidance and support from a number of different individuals. And I love engaging in that myself as well. So we have an active mentor program within Mertz, and that's something I'm very happy to participate in. I found it beneficial over time, and really beneficial when it's organically developed versus forced. So rather than having, someone be an assigned mentor, I find that if you naturally gravitate towards someone whose style, perspective, or interest you want to, get closer to, that creates a stronger bond from a mentor mentee standpoint than an assigned, mentor.
Do you think if you won the lottery, you would still do this job? You'd still wake up and come over to work every day? Somebody asked me this earlier. Let's say you won the lottery and you gave all the money you had to your favorite charities, then what would you do after that?
Well, if I gave all my money to my favorite charities, yes, I'd still need to be working, absolutely, whether I wanted to or not. But I love the question because I do buy lottery tickets, and it's fun to think about, wow, yeah. You hit these huge lottery winnings. I would ease out of what I'm doing, I think, and spend more time at home. I would love to not be on the road as much as I am, so...
You do. You are a road warrior.
Yeah. 65.
That's hard on the body. It's really hard. What are your tricks when you travel? Anything special to avoid jet lag or stay really fit?
Well, I try to work out when I'm traveling, even if it's for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, grabbing a treadmill in the hotel is something I try to do. I'm not as successful as I'd like to be. But when I have breaks, I really try to do that. When I get to a city, we arrived yesterday here in Munich. I don't go to sleep. I try to get outside, get fresh air, walk around to help the body acclimate a little bit better. And I am really hydrating heavily, which is something that I've talked to people about, in terms of their management of jet lag and travel, and consistently heavy hydration is one of the things that people have found to be very helpful. And I can say the same now. I've focused a lot more on slugging back a lot of water before I'm on planes, when I'm on planes, and when I get to the destination I'm at. And that's really helped.
It's So if you won the lottery, you'd be stepping back a little, taking more time for personal fulfillment and a little less travel maybe. But
And spending time with my wife and dogs at home would be very fun. Yeah, yeah. I just don't get enough of that.
When we work and travel so hard, it's like home is the luxury, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Home is almost, for many people, is the vacation. Yes. You know, if I have the opportunity to spend the evening, a weekend at home with my wife and dogs, it's just fantastic.
That's crazy. The little things, like a really nice sleeping in on a Sunday and a newspaper and a walk with the dogs, is perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. A lot of people ask for, you know, what's a 5-year, 10-year plan? I like to think more like a 3-year plan. Where would you envision MERS to be in 3 years with your vision?
Yeah, I'm surprisingly in the same boat. I think 3 years in this market is really about the right horizon to look at, because the market changes so rapidly. It's so dynamic. If you're planning 5 years, 10 years out, you're going to be probably in a much different scenario than you expected by the time you hit that mark. But 3 years is a very, very good, I think, realistic planning period. Given all the environmental factors in this market. And what I anticipate and expect is that MERS will be really the preferred partner to the bulk of aesthetic customers worldwide. That's something that we are just completely fixated on. We have a motto that we live by, and it's your success is our success. Mm-hmm. So bringing that to life day in, day out will help ensure that physicians and our customers realize we're only successful if you are. So we're in this together, and we are going to be the company that is most reliable, different from the rest, and very responsive to the needs of the market.
Well, this industry, I think, is really in its infancy. Like, if you really think about it, we're in the first 20 years of neurotoxins and fillers. Like, imagine being in the first 20 years of the space industry or the computer industry. Like, you are really going to get the chance to forge this industry as one of the big pioneers. So I hope you have a really creative vision for it.
Thanks. Yeah, well, we do, and we're working on that, you know, every day. We're putting a lot of energy around new ways to communicate that will help open the market to large base of patients that have not yet stepped in. And I mean, you nailed
social
it.
Social media is the way.
Social media is absolutely the way. And that's been a learning process for us in healthcare overall. Mm-hmm. Social media has been a little bit of a bumpy road versus other industries because of the heavily regulated environment. And we're helping clarify what are the, you know, appropriate disclosures and other things that are the do's and don'ts in social media and healthcare. But I do think that that's going to be a huge, and will continue to be for us, an important area of focus going forward, because it is more and more where people are seeking information and educating themselves, which frankly is very helpful because it will reduce the concern, reduce the perceived stigma, and allow what is effectively 80% of the market that's interested in, or of the accessible market that's interested in getting a procedure, mm-hmm. but not yet done it, to actually take that action step and go in for a procedure.
Well, do you have an Instagram account?
I do.
You do? Okay.
I
do, yeah. What is it? So we can all go follow you.
It's actually a mock one, which Emily, she's laughing because she set it up. I was brand new to Instagram, wanted to not jump in with, you know, both feet and just get a feel for it. So we've set up a mock one so I can get good visibility to Instagram and start participating as I get a little more comfortable with it. I'm a little bit of a Luddite in terms of things like Facebook and Instagram.
Well, we taught you how to boomerang today, so.
I did, but the boomerang was actually nerve-wracking because I couldn't figure it. Took us, what, 5 takes to get it right.
I had to do 5 takes with Brent Saunders too, so that's just the norm. Normally it takes 2 or 3 to warm up, but I think you'll get it.
My first, and I'm still gonna have to go back and Google it to figure out what it's all about.
Well, I would definitely encourage you to get an Instagram. I hope you'll follow me at Beauty by Dr. K, and I encourage you to post, and post a lot, and don't wait for a perfect post, because that's not the spirit of Instagram. Is you just put it out there, and content is consumed in 5 seconds. seconds, and then you just put out more. It gets better and better.
So don't stress about it having to be.
Don't stress. Yeah, you'll just put it, and also make
insightful comment versus
make your personality show. Like, I know you probably have a corporate message to deliver, but I also think that what inspires people is your personality, your leadership, and your strengths, and like just your character. So it's really cool when that shows.
Neat. I'll definitely do it.
Yeah. Well, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you, Bob. I wish you the best success and congratulations on the big transition to MERS Global Aesthetics. And thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Right. Well, thank you. Really enjoyed it.
Yes. And everyone, go follow Bob as soon as his Instagram is out there. And
I'm on LinkedIn. Very active on that.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll check you out there. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces at Beauty by Dr. K. It's DRKAY. And my website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com. And that's where you can find my amazing skincare line. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.